Okay, so how can I practice what I just learned? The question, how can I persistently, constantly, my niyyah, my focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Practice it. Practice it. You wake up in the morning, taking the kids to school. Usual. Immediately, say it to yourself. Ya Allah, I'm taking them to school. You don't have to say it. Say it to yourself. I'm taking them to school, or remind yourself, because taking care of my children, educate them, is something you will reward me in the right, if they are learning the right thing. While you're cooking, keep asking yourself, while you're cooking, I have to feed my family because they are my responsibility. Why did you come here today? If you come to see me, this is not for Allah. This is not going to be written in your right book. You came here to learn. You came here to be in the masjid and you pray in jama'ah. You came in here to meet other sisters. You came here to strengthen your faith. See how many niyyah? These are all for you. But if you said, I'm going to see her, then you put me before Allah. And everything we learned in the last hour is gone. Don't forget this. Because you will be, I will be tested with every word I just shared with you, as you are already tested with everything you learned. Okay, can I look at the question? Because I may end up not using them all. Very simple, beautiful question, applies to many of you, not necessarily this case, but in general. How can I focus on Allah? And the question is, I have a special need child who has a disability, lifelong disability. I'm going to add to it. I'm going to focus on Allah, and I have four children, and I have two jobs, and I'm a single mother, and I take care of my parents. Could be. How can I focus on Allah? And I am a 19-year-old, and I'm in college. I'm the only Muslim. I'm the only one who wears hijab, and I work two jobs. And I am in what I'm studying is very difficult. These are all reality, right? How I'm going to be focusing on Allah, and I am doing memorization, and I'm studying. All whatever you are doing, nothing is impossible. Everyone has time to do something for what they like. Don't tell me if all these scenarios I said, and you don't have a time, if you really like, let's say, social media, every single day, you're going to make a time for that social media. Right? If you like baking, I see this especially with the youth, right? They like baking. It's not haram. It's beautiful, right? You tell them, do this, do that. I don't have time. But in the middle of whatever they are doing, you see them in the kitchen baking because they like it. Again, for this special case, what you do, everything you're doing to take care of that child, your home, your children, your spouse, your parents, your niyyah is what? Is to serve them, to make them happy, take care of them, because they are your responsibility and you want the reward from Allah. Don't you look for reward from people. I've said this so many times in the previous session. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Allah said this in the Quran. You really need to know your Quran. We feed you for the sake of Allah. We don't want any reward or even a word of thank you. When you cook, putting it on the table to feed your children, it's your responsibility. And you're doing it to please Allah. If they like it, alhamdulillah. If they tell you, thank you, mom, alhamdulillah. If they complain from A to Z, alhamdulillah. And you tell them, teach them to do things for Allah. I am doing it to please Allah. And I'm sure He will reward you. If you get upset, you're not doing it for Allah. Same thing with this special need child. The mother who's taking care of a special need child, she's not going to have a time to do 2 hours tahajjud every night. She's not, because she's going to be exhausted, right? But every step she's doing to take care of that special need child, she needs to look at her knee, and she's doing it for Allah, because that's her test. That's her responsibility. The same as somebody else has all the time in the world, and then they do 2 or 3 hours tahajjud. There is so many ways to worship Allah. Don't narrow it. Quran and fasting and extra salah and this and that. There's many people can do it. There's people blind. There's people who cannot pray the way stand up for 2 or 3 hours. Physically, they can. They still can get the same reward. So this somebody, without reading the whole detail, the first line is very nice. I lost my connection with Allah. And you're going to say, why is that? She's saying it because I start disobeying him. She didn't say what it is, and alhamdulillah, we don't need to know. But obviously, there's some major sins here. But then the good news, and do that, I cry days and night asking Allah for forgiveness, but I still don't have the connection with him. So how can I reconnect and stop doing these things? In general, there is a reason why you are repeatedly disobeying Allah. You need to sit down with yourself and look around you. And actually in the book Sins, I talked about this. One of the results of sin is it sever your connection with Allah. SubhanAllah, the same question she said. Why do you disobey Allah? Is it your friends? Is it what you are seeing and watching? Is it what you are listening to? You think these doesn't affect? Affects. When you're going to go and watch that movie or this series, it's going to have a dots on your heart. And the result of the dot, you will be lazy in your act of worship. Gradually. By the way, the connection with Allah is not like cut like that. Very unlikely. It's usually gradual. And you can see this, and I'll give you an example about salah, because that's probably will resonate with almost everybody. You will not stop praying salah, stop praying right away. It never happens. Usually what happens is the following. You're going to, number one, lose the sunnah. Second, you will be delaying your salah. Third, you will be doing one or two together, so you miss one on time. Then you will, instead of doing five, you're going to do 3 or 4 a day. And the first one to go is usually Fajr. Second is Isha. And within a 6 months or 8 months, you will see yourself praying once a day, and later on it's gone. Never happens suddenly. Anyone who's disobeying Allah constantly, there is something in your environment that is putting a block between you and Allah. وَعَلَّمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. No, Allah said this in Surah Al-Anfal. No, that Allah will put a block between him and your heart. The block is the sins. It's a circle, keeps going, vicious circuit. You disobey Allah, the connection gets weaker. The connection gets weaker, you disobey Allah. You disobey Allah, it's weaker. You repent, but you did not repent as strong as your sin, or you did not remove the reason. The reason, the most important, why are you disobeying Allah? Most of the time, you're watching something haram, you're listening to something haram, you're saying something haram, you are spending time with people who are doing things haram. Even if you're not doing it, but they are doing it, and your heart gradually becomes hardened. So look at the environment. As I said this, as I have just said this, don't lose hope. Get up and ask Allah for forgiveness. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Is that how shaitan is going to come to you? Useless. How many times are you going to do this? Forget it. Lose hope. Never. Every time you sin and get back and ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah is very happy. You went back to Him. But remove the reasons for sins. Remove the reasons for sins. I'll give you one simple example so you can make it. You are with your friends and going for, just let's have dinner. In that dinner, all the topics, all what we are saying was disobedient to Allah. Whether backbiting, whether haram, whatever. Look at your Isha when you go home. If you prayed Isha, that's the result. Turn it around the other way around. You went again for dinner, but everything you talked about moved your heart. Doesn't have to be lecture. Somebody went for Umrah, came back, and all the discussion was, what happened to her during Umrah? And you moved, look at your Isha, and look at your Fajr. Make this connection. We don't disobey Allah just like that. Disobey Allah because of a reason. And usually it is sins, small ones. What did I say? It's a major sin. You just backbite. What did I say? She has it. It's a major sin. If she doesn't have it, that's even more. That's buhtan. So again, pay attention, make the connection, and this is the hardest one, remove everything that will put a block between you and Allah, let alone things you love. Put a block. That series on the TV that you love and enjoy, and it's blocking you from Allah, that TV needs to be out of the house. If that phone is taking me away from Salah, if you are Sayyidina Umar, when he has one farm, and he was working in the farm, and the farm took him away from the Jama'ah Asr, praying Asr in congregation, he gave it for donation, right away. So we need to take things more serious, bi-idhnillah.
Yeah, sure. We have two cars that are blocking the exit of our cars. A black Toyota Highlander. It's displayed UET4640, Virginia tags. And a silver Audi A3, Virginia tags UAH2551. We need you to move your cars immediately.
That's a disobedience to Allah. It's not funny, it's painful. It's a repeated phenomena in masajid. Repeated phenomena in masajid. Men come for Jum'ah, they come late, they block people. And they stay outside talking. And that person who has to run back to work or to class or to something, they have to make this announcement. And now here we are, woman. What is the point you're coming to learn about al-qalb al-saneem and you blocked people and you did not even think that I need to rush and move it and walk a little bit more ajr as you are walking to the masjid. That happens when my qalb needs to be cleaned. Because if I park double parking and my heart is saneem, the first question will be, is that pleasing to Allah? And the answer is no. But I'm going to be late for the lecture. Which one is more? Or which one is less pleasing to Allah? Blocking somebody or coming late to the lecture? Definitely coming late to the lecture is less pleasing to Allah. Then I'm going to move. But when you're focused on yourself, did you see how Allah sent us all these examples? Do you think this is by the way? Do you think this announcement just came? This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and tests us. But we don't. لَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. The majority of them don't know. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to connect. Why do you think this announcement came in? To teach me. Focus on Allah. Focus on Allah. Same thing again, as always, wherever I go, I say this. When I was coming in, why the shoes are at the door? It's not funny, it's painful. And I said, well, maybe, this is how I said to myself, well, maybe because it's a huge number, mashallah, and maybe they don't have enough. And then I turned, and there was places, empty. How much it's gonna cost you time-wise? Just pick it up. And put it in the place. Because my heart needs works. If I said to myself, 2 seconds conversation, putting these shoes may hurt somebody, right? And it's not pleasing to Allah because I am against the rules. Anytime you do something against the rules, don't you think you are smart? You're disobeying Allah. Just pick it up. When I was studying in my Quran school, we had the head of the school, and we all had to leave our shoes outside because all the school was carpeted. And there was plenty of this. If you leave your shoes the way I saw it, you're going to come out of the class and you will have no shoes. She picks it up, and you will never see the shoe again. I'm going to go home barefoot. People thought that was hard. I said, no. Personally, may Allah reward her. Why? Because if I don't have the nafs to discipline me, I need someone to discipline me. Because at the end, I want to obey Allah. Allah, I am 84 years old. What is the best thing I can do? This is a very good question to whoever is still young and healthy. My eyes are not the same. And I feel I'm not doing much. What if you are doing what you said, eyes on the prize? Is there a place for getting tired? I believe Salah could be your break. But what if you don't feel it? How can I be better? How many 24-year-old asked this question? Or 40? Or 50? The fact you are in this class, I'm jealous. The fact you are in this class at age 84, I'm jealous. Right? The fact you are asking this question tells me you care about Allah. She didn't say, oh, look at me. Looks at the young people. We do this all the time. Look at me. I'm 84 and I'm here. No, she felt, and again, I don't know who, there's no name. She felt she's not doing much to Allah. Sayyidina Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa is Kalimullah, is the one who talks to Allah. So he said, Ya Allah, كيف أشكرك وأنا من أنا? How can I be grateful to you? And I am who I am, Sayyidina Musa. You know what Allah responded? الآن شكرتني. Now you are grateful. Did you see the point? Now you are grateful. When you find out that you, whatever you are doing is not enough, what will I do? For this woman, pray for us. You are interested in learning at age 84. Many 84s will tell you, now I'm going to learn. Or we say this, where were you all these years? Never too late. You came, your eyes is not as strong as before, then Allah is not going to take you accountable while you're not reading 5 ajza a day. But He will take me and you. Why you're not reading the Quran and you can see the words beautifully? The fact you feel you're not doing enough, you are dealing with Rabbun Kareem. We all are dealing with Allah, the most generous. I always say this to Allah, I don't deserve it, but you are generous. Whatever He gives me. And may Allah make us all like this woman. Ameen. Oh, the saying, this is a beautiful saying. من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. Whomsoever know who is she or he, then they know who is Allah. This is a very deep statement. Many people don't know what it exactly means. Because the question is, how do you get to know yourself? And what does it mean to know yourself? Jazakillahu khair. من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. Whomsoever know herself knows who is Allah. What did Allah said about the human being in the Quran? Just go through the Quran. These days you don't even have to go through the Quran. Just type. There's many apps, right? And you put the word human. If you know Arabic, put an insan. If you don't know the Arabic, you put a human being. What did Allah describe the human being? There's no praise for the human being, by the way. أبدا. ظلوما جهولا. Ignorant and does injustice to him. خلق الإنسان ضعيفا. Human being was created weak. Right? And قليل من عبادي الشكور. Very few of my servants are grateful. Right? And way more. If I know that, I know I am ignorant. I know I am ungrateful. I know I am weak, then I know who's Allah. That's the meaning of this statement. Then I know Allah is all-knowing. Then I know Allah is al-qawi, the strong. Then I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives everything. Then I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a shakur. He is the grateful. How come? How is that? Because I disobey him and he still feed me. I disobey him and he still forgive me. فمن عرف نفسه عرف ربه. Did you get it? So don't, and this actually comes into, this is a statement of tazkiyah. Don't praise yourself. On the contrary. Always put yourself, I'm nothing. Say this to Allah. Don't tell me what about myself. I know what, especially the youth. What about my self-esteem? This has nothing to do with the self-esteem. This is between you and Allah. There's no self-esteem with Allah. What self-esteem? With my creator? What self-esteem with Allah? On the contrary, your self-esteem is, if you're connected with Allah, you're connected with the strong, you're very strong. You're connected with Al-Aleem, and I'm talking about the connection, we talked about it before, then he will teach you. And your self-esteem will be up there. So man arafa nafsahi, and again, know who you are. As I started, the first thing I said in the class, I said, who are you? Who are you? And when Allah looks at you or me, what he will describe you? Right? Forget the names. Names have no meaning with Allah. We're all his servants. But he is going to describe you like he described Sayyidina Nuh. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. He was a grateful servant. Is he going to describe you or me like he described Sayyidina Ayyub? نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. What a servant of mine he is. He always returned to me. Come back to me. That's me and you. By our past sins, despite sincerely repentance, especially when the haunting comes during salah, that's shaitan. There's two possibilities. Either you did not repent sincerely, but if you really repent sincerely, don't open that door to Allah, to the shaitan. I don't care. I get this question very common. It's like, you don't know what I did. My answer, you know what? I don't care. You repented. You repented sincerely. You felt it, you regret it, you didn't do it again. It's gone. Gone from your book, التائب من الذنب كما لا ذنب له. The person who repent, she or he, from a sin, as if they have not had a sin. This is how shaitan comes in. You lost it, you have no hope. Oh, you don't know what I did. I don't care. They were kuffar. Sayyidina Umar was kafir. He came to kill his sister. Now he's one of the 10 that was given Jannah. So don't let shaitan do this to you. How do I know if it is my disobedience, ignorant thoughts, or are these whispers of shaitan? The question is not clear. What do you mean? What thoughts? If you want to disobey, I'm assuming, and I'm just going to comment. If the thought coming to you is disobey Allah, it's usually your nafs and shaitan is operating on it. This is how usually it works. So, for example, you turn on the TV, you really want to see what is going on in Gaza. So you literally turn on the TV to see the news. Well, guess what? As you are looking for the channel, something came up. That's something you like. And that something is obvious disobedience. I'm not talking about maybe, obvious. Now shaitan is going to operate on your nafs. Shaitan waswas, khannas, whispers. And then if you're going to use the medicine, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, he's going to settle down. So he's going to come to you and says, oh, what is that? That's something you like. Now your nafs likes it. You're going to hold your remote. Versus if you immediately say, no, this is not pleasing to Allah, move on. Now he's going to come down, he's going to think of another trick. You really need to be extremely alert, not alert, extremely alert to the main enemy. Inna shaytana aduun mudillun mubin. Inna shaytana lakum adu, fattakhiduhu aduwa. Shaytan is your enemy, verily. That's what Allah, I'm not using my words. إن الشيطان لكم عدو. الشيطان is your enemy. فاتخذوه عدوا. You act with him as an enemy. What does the enemy want? What's good for you? No. But we let him come in. We pay money to let him come in. We invite him. Right? You want me to give you examples or the examples are already clear? Alhamdulillah. طيب. What practices do you use daily habits to build and maintain a pure heart, قلب السليم, and a focus on the akhirah? Dhikr of Allah is number one. There is no one that will put Allah in her heart as number one without remembering him. If you love somebody, and you all will feel this, every woman in this room, you have loved, you are, as we speak, you love someone. And I'm not talking about haram relationship. This could be your children, this could be your spouse, this could be your spouse-to-be, this could be your mother, this could be your father, somebody. When you love someone, and I'm talking about real love, they're always living here. You think of them. You wake up, you think of them. They text you, you read the text 1,000 times. Right? That's love. And there's nothing wrong with this if there is no disobedience to Allah. To build this relationship of real love and connection to Allah, I need to remember him. And the best remembrance of Allah is two things. Either his words, which is the Quran, or the dhikr. Astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Like how many of you now, after your salah, you sat down for 2 seconds and you said the adhkar of salah versus picked up your phone and looked at your phone. Or you start talking to the person next to you. You missed it. To be connected with Allah, you really need to be always in a state of dhikr. Sometimes dhikr loud, and sometimes dhikr in the heart. And the best is both. Is when I am in saying it and I am feeling it. And Quran, when you love someone, you read their text message 1,000 times. This is his words. How many of you are still reading Quran since Ramadan? Don't answer me, I don't want to know. That's a question for everybody. So dhikr and dua. Dua, I always say this to Allah, لا تنساني إذا نسيتك. Don't forget me when I forget you. Yeah, because it's a verse in the Quran. نسوا الله فنسيهم. They forget Allah, he forgets them. So you don't want to forget Allah? Ask him. It's Allah Kareem. It's not like you and me. You don't remember, you don't call me, I'm not going to call you. This is how we do. Allah is generous. Way more than we are. So ask Allah to keep you remembering him.